If you turn in your Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20, in a sermon entitled Searching for Happiness, Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, there are so many joy stealers in life, and yet you are the joy giver. And so we seek your face today and accept the joy that you have to offer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Many people today spend their lives in a desperate search for happiness. A desperate search for pleasure. A desperate search for fun. Many people in our society are simply bored. They mope around, fantasizing about some secret joy that lies out there somewhere. I'm looking for adventure, excitement, and beautiful women, said the young man to his father as he was leaving home. And don't try to stop me. Who wants to stop you? Said his father. I'm going with you. The ironic thing about seeking such pleasure, however, is the really little amount of joy that it actually gives. In fact, those who seek it hardest are often the most unhappy people alive. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? They're searching so much, saying, I want to be happy, 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 I want it, I want it, I want it. And their attempt to get it and grab it actually pushes them further away from it. Fascinating. If you want an example of this, look at the first two chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. In these chapters, Solomon is spoken of. Solomon is known for his wisdom. So we're talking about a genius. We're talking about a smart guy. We're talking about somebody who knows his stuff religiously, who knows lots and lots of stuff. And he tells in these first two chapters about his search for happiness. That's what Ecclesiastes 1 and 2 are all about. And the first words that we hear out of his mouth in that first chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 1, is meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. You may remember that a couple weeks ago we quoted theologian Paul Tillich, who said that the great fear of our time is meaninglessness. Solomon was the wisest man of his time, and yet he could not make sense of his own life. He was not a happy man. Even though he really worked very, very hard, very diligently for happiness. The first place he thought he could find happiness was in intellectual pursuits. Man, I can really be happy if I study. Studying is going to make me happy. And, you know, how can you argue with that? There's a certain nobility in seeking knowledge. We salute people who are the brightest in their field, but even though they're the brightest in their field, that does not mean they are happy. You don't achieve happiness just because you ended up getting your bachelor's degree, your master's degree, and your PhD. It doesn't mean that you're happy. Doesn't mean that you're content. Certainly Solomon was not happy, and certainly Solomon was not content. He writes, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled in Jerusalem before me. But I learned that this is only a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Interesting, don't you think? The more knowledge, the more grief. So knowledge and wisdom did not bring Solomon happiness. So he said, okay, didn't get happiness from doing this stuff, so let me try an entirely different path. I'm going to try sensual pleasures. Come now. I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, he says cynically, is madness. He says laughter is madness. He says, what does pleasure accomplish? Then he tried the path of alcohol. I tried cheering myself with wine, he writes. But this also produced frustration, as he notes in Proverbs 1, verse 20. He writes, wine is a mocker, and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. So much, Matthew, for the beer commercials on preseason NFL football. He was talking about that last night. I mean, we were seeing the Bengals, who are his team. They were playing, and so we watched for a couple of minutes, and obviously there were two beer commercials in about 10 minutes. So all the young people in the beer commercials, they really look happy. I mean, why wouldn't you want to drink beer? It looks like so much fun. It really does. But I'm here to tell you, alcohol didn't cut it for King Solomon. So then he turned to some more constructive activities. He said, I undertook great projects. Oh, there's some of you that have done that before. I am going to be happy by doing great things. And you even do great things for God. You're going to get lost in all the projects because the projects are going to make you happy. Solomon said, I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens. I made parks. I planted all kinds of fruit trees. Still, Solomon did not find the satisfaction for which his heart hungered. So then he said, okay, let me do something else. I'm going to turn to the accumulation of wealth. I mean, come on, aren't you like happy when you got all the money you need to buy all the stuff you want? I mean, you know, that's happy, right? You just get money and you're happy. That's like, there's so many people that think that they can get happy by working so hard to get it doing each of these things. So he went for wealth. He said, I bought male and female slaves. I own more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, treasures of kings and provinces. And still, with all the gold and all the silver and all the stuff, he did not find what he was seeking. Then he tried sex. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. 1,000 wives, Lord have mercy. Concubines still left him unfulfilled. And Solomon lived a life larger than anyone who came before him. He tried the pursuits of happiness that many people are on right now. He already went down all those paths. He did it all the way. And he did not find it. If you will but listen to him, if you are on one of those paths today or are tempted to be on one of those paths in the future, the answer is already in the Bible. That's not the answer. Solomon lived life larger than anyone who came before him. He writes, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. Boy, that's kind of something. I see it, I want it, I have it. Wow. That's got to make you happy, right? I mean, ladies, we go on a shopping spree at the mall, and you can have anything you want. Just go, aren't you going to be happy? That's wonderful. All the shoes you want. Guys, electronics galore. Matt, we're going into that store, and we're going to get you all of the Giants. No? Not Giants? Uh-oh. That's Virginia. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, stuff. Oh, he's Indians.
No, Redskins.
Redskins. Okay, the Nyack Indians. All right. Gotcha. I had to get a recovery because I was, that was not a touchdown. All right, so he denies himself nothing. He refuses and fumble. There we go, I picked it up. No meaning, no pleasure. And he eventually sums all these pursuits in this. My heart took delight in all my labor, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Yes. Nothing was gained under the sun. He even reached the point where he wrote later in this same chapter, verses 17 and 18, he says this. He's the guy that's got all this stuff. He's the guy that's done all this stuff. He's the guy that's accomplished all these great projects. He says, verse 17, so I hated life. Solomon himself says, I hated life. Not only was he not happy, he hated life. Pretty intense. All of it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun. Man. Do you think of such a sad and miserable man when you think of Solomon? That's who he was. He had everything that life in his time could offer, and he counted it all vanity. He had everything the human heart could desire except one. I'll let you guess what that was. As I read his litany of despair, I couldn't help but see many people today who are chasing happiness in a similar fashion. They are chasing happiness by getting knowledge. They're chasing happiness by drinking alcohol. They're chasing happiness through sensual pleasures. Seeking happiness through fulfillment at their work, the accumulation of wealth, sex. Hey, who wants to stop you? Says the father of the young man leaving home. I'm going with you. Paul sees the same emptiness in many of the people of his time in the New Testament. Even among the early Christian believers, he sees people that have a problem seeking happiness and not finding it. And so he wrote, be very careful then, verse 15, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are keys that Paul gives us that lead to lasting happiness. He gives us the answer. I've told you what the answer is not. Some of us work down those paths even today thinking they're going to make us happy. They don't. We need to be smart with our lives. That's the first thing to do to be happy. Be smart with your life. The Bible says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, I'm not concerned that many of you are going to be led into debauchery. Really not, but alcohol abuse is still a problem in our society, especially on college campuses. And on our highways, it's the primary factor in many tragic cases of domestic abuse as well. Nowadays, it's not only alcohol that's destructive to many lives, but the opioid crisis in our country makes headline news. Other forms of addiction, commonplace. Why? These are the paths that people are utilizing because they are seeking happiness. They are seeking happiness. Be very careful, then, says Paul, how you live. It's good advice. It can be applied to the substances we put into our bodies or a host of other unwise situations that we might place ourselves in. In other words, this is pretty simple. Don't be stupid, okay? This is really straightforward and simple. If you want to be happy, don't be stupid. Wow, now that's good advice, pretty straightforward. It does make sense. If you're stupid, you really don't end up being happy in the long run. There are many people today that are involved in risky behaviors that are dangerous to their health, dangerous to their marriages, dangerous to their reputation in the community, dangerous to their immortal souls. In 1991, Mario Van Peebles directed a motion picture titled New Jack City, which contained a scene in which a character accepts some illegal drugs. When this scene was shown in a theater in New York City, an African-American man stood up and yelled at the movie screen, "Just say no, man!" And Mr. Van Peebles, who was present in the theater at the time, says, "This is one of the best things he's ever witnessed in his life." It may be that this man who yelled at the movie screen had been down that road of illegal drugs himself and wanted to warn everybody else what a dumb move it is. Be very careful then how you live. It said that John Morley once traveled from England to Canada to address the graduating class of a university. He began his speech by saying, "I've traveled 4,000 miles to tell you that there is a difference between right and wrong." Of course there is. And every sensible person knows it's true. If it is in any way hurtful to you or to someone else, it is wrong. Period. End of story. End of statement. Easy. If it keeps you from fulfilling your potential as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, keep your distance. If it causes you to feel ashamed as you look in the mirror, stay away. Don't do anything dumb. Of course, all of us know that there is something within our very nature that makes us prone to doing that which is wrong. Radio pastor and best-selling author Chuck Swindoll tells about a scam that took place in New York City several years ago when a con man decided to make some extra cash by feeding off of our corrupt nature. You have had an opportunity. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever done something similar here. Not as big as this. These guys, these con men, got a pile of cardboard boxes, got some newspapers, stickers that read factory sealed, roll of bubble plastic, stack of stolen shopping bags from Macy's, stuffed each box, each of those box with bricks, newspapers until it weighed a couple of pounds, wrapped everything in bubble wrap, affixed the stickers, and as the evening rush hour traffic backed up at the Holland Tunnel, the con artists started wandering the curb, carrying the bogus boxes inside those Macy's shopping bags. And when they started a potential buyer stranded in traffic, they walked up to the car window and started fast talking a cash deal. Hey man, I got a Sony Handycam here. Just got it off a FedEx truck. And he lifts the box out of the bag saying, Macy sells them for $999. And then jerking his head around nervously, he says, I'll take 90 bucks cash. The car starts to edge forward and the other drivers start yelling. The thief delivers his final pitch. Okay, man, I'll let you have it for $45. Take it or leave it. And the driver takes it, knowing it's hot merchandise. And when he asks about how he feels to rip other people off, selling them empty boxes, one of the men justified his actions by saying this. Hey man, I'm not beating an honest man. No one buys something hot unless they've got larceny in their own heart. I must admit, right, Swindoll, the guy's got a point. The fellow who grabbed the box and sped off into the night was just as guilty as the thief on the street. And along with that, his money gave hearty approval to the one who'd ripped him off. Happens all the time. The details change. Depravity, though, is on display. No one is immune. The possibilities of appealing to our old nature are endless. I'm bothered that people in the church and the church itself doesn't use the word sin very much anymore. And yet our basic nature hasn't changed since Adam. Suffice it to say, don't do anything stupid. If something smells wrong, it usually is. Be very careful then how you live, writes Paul, not as unwise but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be. Can you imagine a more wholesome approach to life than the one Paul pictures for us here? I love watching the musicians who love what they're doing. I love watching our children, our young people, when they sing a song of faith here at church. Paul is describing people who are joyfully singing from their hearts. Because when you are joyfully singing from your hearts, I'm telling you right now, you are experiencing happiness. A sense of gratitude for the blessings of God. And the happiest people I know are people who are thankful for what they've got. So instead of focusing on what we don't have, this happiness that's elusive, that's missing, that's the other 30%, they focus on what they've got, the happiness that's already present, the gratitude that should already be given. It doesn't mean that they are blessed materially beyond measure. It doesn't mean their health is exceptional. It doesn't mean their kids are straight A students. It doesn't mean they're captains of the football team. It simply means that they have learned to count their blessings and to thank God for what they've got. They have simply learned a phenomenal lesson that leads to happiness. And that lesson is this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. It is hard to be unhappy when you are thanking God for something He has given you. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "The test of all happiness is gratitude." And he's right. Let's go back for just a second as we close to Solomon, who experienced every earthly pleasure, and yet something was missing from his life. Solomon was a miserable man. Have you guessed what it is that was missing from his life? Solomon had never learned to say thank you. Think of everything that had been provided to him and the blessings that he had beyond measure. He had a mountain of what other people could call blessings. He was able to do all this stuff, went down all of these roads, and yet he had what he needed all along. He just needed to have a grateful heart for what he had. I hope you're not making the same mistake. I hope I'm not making the same mistake. Paul writes, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So do you want to be happy? Do I want to be happy? Number one, don't be stupid. Don't do anything dumb. Sin ends up making you unhappy. Okay? It's stupid. It's dumb. And be thankful for what you've got, because every single one of you, I have a lot. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. As Bob and Barbara Worcester would say, they'd sing it out. Count your blessings. Name them ton by ton. Not just one, but thousands of blessings that we have. May God help us all as we seek happiness to find it by being good people that don't do dumb stuff, and by being people who are thankful for what they have. Father in heaven, your word is so clear. The answer is so straightforward and plain. And yet, Lord, so many people like Solomon, Lord, some of those people being us, are looking for happiness by going down the wrong rabbit holes. We think for sure that we'll find it, even though no one else ever has. And the problem is sometimes there's a fake happiness that we believe is real, but it's an illusion that eventually disappoints. Help us, O God, to be thankful for what we have and to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen.